You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Really excited when I realize there's a creator who's extremely good at taking known genres, famous genre film ideas, and reinventing them, introducing new ideas into them, new cultures into them, and doing something that comes out feeling very different than anything has come before, often in very tired genres. And you know what? Director-writer Julia Hart has proven to be one of those creators who has reliably done this. First, remember seeing her write The Keeping Room, which was her take on feminist Western. She wrote and directed Mrs. Stevens, which was, I don't know how to describe that one as much in the context of what I'm talking about, so we'll just skip on to Fast Color. She wrote and directed, which was her take on superhero movies. I did not see her movie Stargirl. People were raving about that, but this latest one from her, I'm Your Woman, is her take on the gangster film, a genre I feel like it has been quite some time since we've seen a truly original new entry in the genre. Certainly lots of stuff that's like, oh, it's a gangster film, but now it's like hoods in England, or it's people in Ireland during the, you know, what have you. You're like, okay, but they all seem like cultural variations on the same in many different ways. This takes the story of somebody in a Scorsese film from the 80s would have been a minor female character in the background with a few interesting scenes and made the entire movie about her. They're not just making it, oh, it's this woman who's first like, oh God, I don't know what to do, and then turns into this total shotgun-wielding badass who's basically just one of the genre's male characters, but with breasts. No, they actually make her into this fascinating, layered, real character. And I am so unsurprised to see that Rachel Brosnahan, who is, of course, best known for playing Midge Maisel on The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is able to take her comedic skills and transfer it completely into a very different type of performance here. A nuanced, subtle, well, you know what? Hey, I liked this movie, so I guess we're done.
All right, that was fun.
That's fun. We all liked it, right? It's all good? Okay, everybody, good. Go watch.
Wrap it up.
Rose is giving
no.
You... Yeah, I don't know. She's skulking off over here. My precious. That's okay. We don't all have to like the same things. We've got Rose. Hi, Rose.
Hello.
We've got Wright. Hello, Wright.
Hello.
You look so shocked.
I'm like, oh my God, me? No.
Yeah. Was he talking to me?
Is that, oh my God.
No, dude, the guy, the right behind you.
Oh, I'm your right.
And Ryan.
How's it going?
Who's in the glowy lit up disco room. I like it.
Very exciting.
There's always a dance party at Ryan's house. I'm Your Woman follows a woman named Jean, who finds herself very surprisingly suddenly her whole life uprooted when somebody shows up at her house and goes, hey, you know your husband? Well, he's in deep shit and everyone is coming to kill him and he's a gangster, and maybe you knew to some degree that he was a gangster, but you didn't know the degree to which he was a gangster.
Yeah.
And they're all going to come for you and they will torture and kill you if need be to either get him to come in or to get information where he is. So we got to leave right now. This guy named Cal, she's never met before, shows up. Say why she and her infant baby, who literally was handed to her earlier by her husband. Oh, you wanted a baby and you can't have a baby? Well, here, I got you a baby. Like, yeah. You just went to the baby store.
Like you do.
That's how gangsters have babies, right? They just find a baby and like, hey, yeah. He's a baby.
Well, you know, gangsters, they're like, well, the stork brings a baby. You just write a letter to the stork guy and he drops off the baby. It's a thing. You got to leave
the
it
baby
in the
fall off the back
place.
Of a truck. It's, see, here you go.
It fell off the back of the baby truck.
So I'm so sorry. That seems offensive in a lot of ways, but I'm okay with it.
So she goes on the run, is put in a place, being told, just stay here, don't do anything. And she's terrified. She doesn't know what to do. They're like, don't leave the house, don't go anywhere, don't call anyone. Literally anything could lead them to you and they will come kill you. And sure enough, is what appears to be the most minor possible of fuck-ups in this context. And they show up and bang, she's on the run again. Well, all of this ends up being a film that's about her sort of awakening into the real world, both as not just this protected, sheltered person who has chosen to have no agency at all in many ways. She's the gangster's wife who's like, I'm fine just being the mom and being here in this house and just saying yes, dear, to a person who's forced into becoming aware of what she is in fact capable of being and being aware that even in her bad situation, she still has a huge advantage in her life over a lot of other people who she just assumes have it easier, but that is definitely white people privilege, as Cal and his family, who is introduced, are African American, and they have a slowly being revealed unique relationship to Jean's husband. But that is the story of I'm Your Woman. There is certainly a degree of action, although this is not what I would call an action film. When it happens, it's usually startling, sudden, and brutal. But most of this is more of a almost conversational film, but with the constant feeling of fear that at any moment that violence could break wide open.
It does have this great sense of dread throughout the whole movie. You don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know if the characters, and especially with Jean, Rachel Brosnahan's character, is she up to the task? Like, you have the sense of that she's going to get through this, but like to what degree? Like who's going to be suffering throughout the story? And it doesn't really hold back any punches through the whole movie. And that's a really interesting way that you kind of described it, is it seems like it's a supporting character in a Scorsese movie that they're like, let's focus on them. I want to talk about them real quick and what they would experience if they were going through and witnessing what the main story is happening to. Like usually, I guess in a Scorsese movie, this whole movie would be about Eddie, I guess. I think it's way more fascinating than in a lot of other stories, I guess other directors would try to pitch or film. But yeah, this was really interesting. I liked it. A lot of the subtleties of her character growth, where a lot of her, I guess, development at the very beginning was like, I'm bored, I don't want to do something else. And then it's all given to her, but in the most severe, violent way possible. And she's like, maybe I bit off more than I can chew.
I agree with you, Chris. I liked it for the most part. I think that it does a really good job, like you said, right, like just building up tension, especially in those early scenes. It was honestly like gut-wrenching at points. It's just very subtle. Even the action scenes, when they come, they're just like quick, fast, and brutal, get it over with. I really thought it was a solid, slow burn crime movie from a perspective that we really don't get to see very often. I know I read that the director, she said exactly what you guys are saying, which is she always had wondered in these movies like Godfather, what is the wife doing? Like, what is this character doing? Like, because clearly what they're going through is honestly just insane. I always go back to and think of Breaking Bad, like Skyler's character. I think they explored her in a decent way in the later seasons, more so than they did in early seasons. But I've had always wondered, like, that must take a serious like emotional toll on you, even if you're not considered to be the main focal point of a crime drama. Like, still, she's going through so much. And I did like that her journey, like I think you said early on, Chris, didn't feel forced. Like, in the end, I feel like they didn't push her character to a point of ridiculousness where she was just this badass. It felt like a very natural progression to me, and I liked that about it.
Rose, you insinuated that maybe you weren't as into this as us, and I would love to hear that. I always love to hear a differing opinion when everyone else is like, oh, we're all slapping each other on the back. Good job. Yeah, we all liked it. And I'm like, yeah, let's hear the other side.
I think it was how slow burn it was for me that I just downright found it kind of boring at parts. I definitely admire what they were going for with it. Like you guys are saying, where this would be the minor character in any other movie. And I was in it from the beginning. As soon as he walked in and is like, here's a baby for you, hun. She's just like, oh, all right, thanks. But yeah, once it got to the first safe house, it just kind of dragged on. And then it had that very exciting / horrifying moment. And then once it got to the cabin, it kind of ground to a halt for me. Stuff was happening, but I just wasn't kind of keeping up with it. The acting was great in it. Like I said, it was just a touch too slow burn for my taste personally.
I think it was the appearance of the adorable dog in a sweater behind the main character that really just kind of nailed the central metaphor.
I do see that, though. I know what you're talking about, Rose. Like, that was the only thing that I would say that was slightly negative, is that the pacing dipped when they went to a second safe house. We don't want to get into spoilers or anything about like what the details of the story was, but when we're introduced to, let's say, more characters, it almost feels like a different movie at that point. And so you have to like kind of readjust of like what this ends up being about even more so. I liked it. It became richer of a story. It just, like, I could see how it could turn people off to where you have to kind of shift gears in the middle of the movie. And then you have to like almost rewatch what's basically happening in front of you again. You're like, okay, well, now I have to be introduced to more characters and really care about them and what's actually going on with their stories. And I could see how that can kind of slow people down a little bit, where like, okay, well, I was kind of into her story more than anything else.
Yeah.
I guess for me, it didn't, because that was the point where she's literally goes from, well, you have this nice house still, you're in a cool protected house and everything's safe, just don't do shit.
Yeah.
And you'll be fine, to like, eventually just wandering the streets and just go, I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. She might as well be a drug addicted homeless person, to the point that anyone even looks at her twice. And then they introduce the character of the wife of the guy who's been sent to help her, who adds so much more of depth and layering to the story. The husband, Eddie, is really a third man. He's barely in the movie, like barely. Mm-hmm. And even then, it's a flashback.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like just a few scenes.
Yeah.
First 5 minutes. Yeah.
But he is mentioned consistently throughout this. He is central. His actions, not only the actions that she's more aware of, but the actions that took place long ago and his relationship to this other couple are fascinating and start to do so much for her starting to realize that all these assumptions she's always made about her own life were just not true, that she took too much for granted. You know that feeling you get the prickles on the back of your neck? You know, you're like, oh yeah, I totally feel what's happening here. And a lot of that was Brosnahan's, I thought, kind of triumphant performance here, but man, it worked for me.
I loved her in it. I love Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, but too. I cannot wait to see more of her, because earlier this year, I finally watched Basically, which is the short film that she starred in for Ari Aster before he did Hereditary.
I didn't know about that.
I haven't seen that.
It is infuriating for anyone who ever wants to write or direct films and you watch one of his short films, like, oh, fuck you. You just knew exactly what you were doing from the get-go. Fine. And you watch that movie and she stars in it and it is perfect. It is perfectly shot. It's perfectly written. And she is perfectly acting in that movie.
She's a force of nature, man.
She really is. I cannot wait to see her in more things. And this is like one of those movies where you could see an actor that you know is so great in one, I guess, iconic role with Marvelous Mrs. Maisel right now. But you know, she's like, oh, she has so much more to give than just that role. And even though the role it is very nuanced and funny and dramatic, but she could really do anything. Like, I almost feel like we're kind of seeing like a Meryl Streep in the making in a way.
This is, I think, part of why maybe this excited me as much as it did, because I love The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I love that show. I watch it when a new season comes out. I'm like, yes, feed it to me. It's so funny. I mean, it's cartoonish and ridiculous. It could never happen. These aren't real people. It's not supposed to be. It's absurd. Just wonderfully classic slapstick absurd. And it wouldn't work so well without the immense amounts of talent working there. I mean, Brosnahan being the obvious choice, the whole family on there is terrific. But the fact that watching this and seeing that, wow, she is capable of really nuanced, subtle acting in a dramatic sense as well, man, that just makes me happy.
For as like cold and kind of slow burn the movie is at times, I'll admit, like, by the end, the relationships between all the characters, I mean, especially Gene and Terry and Cal, I honestly choked up a little bit at the end there. I thought that it was, like, concluded very, very well. It really, really worked for me more than it didn't.
It's interesting that although, like a gangster film, there are a lot of very tense, oh shit, someone's about to get killed scenes, not in any way that's like you've seen in any other gangster film. it sets it up in a different way. And that's part of what I thought was really fascinating here. And nobody ever in the whole film says, forget about it. So
not even one. Couldn't even throw one in. Yeah, like in particular, one of the scenes that I loved was there's a scene at a nightclub where she sort of ends up hiding. And there's all this action going on around her. Yeah. And it just feels so disorienting. And you're usually not put in that place in a movie like this. Usually you would be seeing like the direct action, but you're kind of like put in the background. It kind of puts you in that place and makes it feel more real in a way.
I'm really looking forward to like what Julia Hart does next as well, because like her direction of this is kind of fantastic. Again, like to your point, Ryan, like some of the choices she makes in that scene in particular, where it's taken from the point of view of Rachel Brosnahan's character, where she's kind of like, let's say, locked away in a place, and she has to third party witness what's happening. And it's really thrilling the way that it's shot. I remember watching it. I was like, kind of like, yeah, you fucking did. Yeah, you made that choice. And that's such a good choice. I haven't really seen that before. And I was like, I'm glad they did it. And they executed it very well.
Now I even have to watch Stargirl, which is like a Disney Channel type movie. And I would never in a million years have like even considered watching it, really, because it is not aimed at me, clearly.
Yeah.
But we reviewed it on the site and people were like, oh, it's really good. I'm just like, is it? And then I'm like, oh, wait, that was Julia Hart? Well, shit, that's all you had to say. Well, let's go to final thoughts. Rose, why don't you get us started?
Just more liked than loved it. I definitely get what you guys were saying, but yeah, it just didn't quite click for me. But I would give it a recommendation because I'm always for more female-led, female-directed films. I would definitely say give it a watch if the trailer intrigues you, but for me, it just kind of, eh. I would give it 6 rain-soaked fur coats out of 10.
Now, didn't that make you sad? You're like, oh, look like a
I
wet
know.
Dog.
Coat.
So sad. Ryan?
I really, really enjoyed this. I'm definitely looking forward to see what this director does next. It was pretty, like, even though it is kind of a slow burn, the payoff in the end really feels worth it. Had a lot of great performances as well. And an amazing, amazing soundtrack, too.
Oh, yeah.
I would give it 8 badly cooked eggs out of 10.
I can't believe we forgot to bring up the soundtrack. It really was kick ass.
Oh, my God.
It was
like amazing.
It was like the soundtrack of a Scorsese film.
Yeah. Like, be prepared to see that soundtrack on Mondo at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right.
I thought it was really good. I do see Rose's point where the slow burn, where what happens, like definitely towards the middle of the movie, it kind of can throw people off a little bit of like how it changed courses of what it's starting to focus on with some of the revelations that are coming on. But I still loved everyone's performance. I thought Rachel Brosnahan is kind of a force to be reckoned with. I really can't wait to see what she does more. And Julia Hart's direction too, like the way that it's shot, it's really well shot. Yeah, the music and the soundtrack is fantastic and really interesting, like some of the dialogue. And I think of like some of the lines that Cal had that I thought was like really interesting that I wouldn't have picked up on or thought to have written. Nothing is like really like tropey at all. It's like, this is really cool the way that they're presenting all of these characters and in this very, I think, realistic situation if this actually happened. I would give it 7.5, maybe closer to 8, unlit cigarettes. God, that's a travesty just to not smoke a cigarette, because I'm trying to quit and that's hard. That's
it hurts.
Really hard.
Like, are you going to smoke that?
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
I understand that this was definitely slow moving at points, certainly. And I understand that there's a lot of people, I think, that are going to be like, this is just not as much for me. It doesn't have the kind of energy I'm looking for. For me, I think that I was so wrapped up in the character and the scenario that it never felt slow for me. I just felt so nervous for her constantly. And it felt like the kind of movie that might do anything. And it was kind of unpredictable in that way. I loved it. This is one of my favorites of the year right now for so many reasons. I just think everyone involved are, as you said, people to watch, as well as the actress, Marcia Stephanie Blake, who plays Terry, who is the wife of the guy Cal, who's Arinze Kenne. She is so good. She was just known from being in the Netflix miniseries When They See Us, where she was nominated for an Emmy. And I have a feeling we're going to be seeing a lot more of her as well. And then, of course, the legendary Frankie Faison is in this as well, playing just kind of a charming elderly black man of the family. All that guy has to do is smile. And you're like, oh, I can't stay mad at you, Frankie.
You can't stay mad at from being in The Wire. That character in The Wire, he's a piece of shit.
Even then, when he smiled, you're like, oh.
I know, but I'm just saying.
Can't stay mad at that face.
No. I'm going to give this 8.5 out of 10 short films about the baby heist. I hope that are included as an extra on the Blu-ray.
There you go.
Can you see, like, this Scorsese-style film, like, the camera zooms in on the table in the smoky room with the guy laying out the map of the baby factory and the voiceover, you know, that was it. We were going to grab a baby, and it was going to happen this weekend. I knew it was trouble, but Josie the Smacker said, we're in. We all want babies. The babies have got to go. Coming off that truck.